This is 104.3 and 104.7 KHUM, Cut in Eureka, Arcata, and Foster Homes everywhere. Streaming on the web at KHUM.com. It is noon here on this Thursday, and that means it's time for Not For Kids Only. It's a segment where we look at programs within and organizations within our community that aim to help children. Today, I have a fascinating story for you. Sarah got adopted at an older age, several years back, by two wonderful people. And what better else than them to go ahead and recount their story? Have you ever been interviewed before, Randy?
Oh, yeah. I've been right here with this girl, with Cliff.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
When we first.
Yeah, so we've been interviewed here a couple of times, actually.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
And she was on the newspaper.
Yeah, I was in the newspaper. That's actually kind of what started it all.
Can you describe to me why you decided to take the ad out in the newspaper?
Well, when I was in foster care, I had a very particularly bad incident in my foster home. And I just, you know, I'd already been in foster care for quite a while. I'd moved around quite a lot. And I called up my social worker, and I'm like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I need a steady home. I need some place to just be. I need to get out of foster care. And he goes, well, you have two choices. You basically age out of the system or you get adopted. And I was like, well, then I guess I'll go for the adoption. And he goes, yeah, you have a 1 in 5,000 chance of getting adopted.
And why is that case for the older?
Well, I was at the time I was 14. And basically, the older you get, the less likely you are to get adopted. Most families, when they think of adoption, they think of really young kids, they think of babies. They don't necessarily think of older children unless they're like related to them or you know, something similar to that. So eventually, I got a new social worker. His name was Ken Smith. And when we first met, you know, I was like, I want to go for adoption. And he goes, oh, okay, that's no problem. You know, he was the first one that was like totally for me going up for adoption. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then he told me the story about when he was working down south about a kid that went into the newspaper saying, you know, I want to go up for adoption. He goes, it was a little bit controversial down there, but it worked. He got adopted. He's very happy. He's in college right now. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, if it worked for him, it'll work for me. I mean, if puppies and kittens can get adopted from the newspaper, I guess I can too. And next thing I knew, just kind of out of the blue, I was suddenly on the front page of the newspaper. And then later on that day, I got a call from Ken Smith, and he goes, so there's a couple of radio stations that want to interview you. And I'm like, oh, really? Which ones? And he goes, K-Hum and K-Slug, have you heard of them? And I'm like, oh, I listen to those two all the time. Oh, those are my favorite radio stations. Yeah, I'll totally do it. And so I went on to the radio as well. And I had 30-some-odd families wanting to adopt me after that. It was really nice. It really worked out really well.
As a result, other families adopted other children as well,
yeah,
that were older.
It kind of raised a bit of awareness, at least for a little while, about, you know, older kids wanting to get adopted. And, you know, I'm a big advocate for adopting older kids. There's no problem with them, really, besides they've just been through life a little bit longer than the younger ones. The adoption process was a little strange for me, admittedly, because, you know, when you reach a certain point, a certain age, and you go up for adoption, you get to actually kind of pick your family and not the other way around. The family doesn't pick you. You kind of get to pick, you know, say, yes, no, I don't want to get adopted by them. And so I had to interview all those families. So it was a very interesting process. But one of the last families that I interviewed, the second to the last one, was actually the one that I chose. And it was pretty interesting because about towards the end, my social worker pulled me to the side and he goes, so there's some special families that want to possibly adopt you. And I just want to ask you, what do you think about, you know, gay and lesbian people? And I was like, I know one of those means happy. And is the other one people from Lebanon? I had no idea what gay and lesbian meant. Like, I was so oblivious to this whole situational thing. And when he explained it to me, I went, if they're happy, I guess it doesn't matter. I don't know. Like, I had never heard about it, really. So I started interviewing gay and lesbian couples, and I chose one of the lesbian couples to be my mom's.
That's awesome. Why did you decide to adopt Sarah, Randy?
Well, we had, Caroline and I had tried to get, about 5 years before, got us a baby, or then we said we didn't get that one, so next time it's got to be a little, maybe more 6 or 7 years, because it's, and then we moved up here, and we said, okay, by now we need to go like a teenager or something like that. And so I was working with the county, and I had a friend who used to be there, but he was working up at the college. And I was talking with him, and I was saying, we're really looking to get a kid. And Ken, his name is Ken, and he said, really? And then at the same time, I saw the in the newspaper, there she was, right there. And I called my partner, Caroline, called. I said, we found her. She's right here. She's in the newspaper. And I called Ken, and Ken said, yeah, I think this is the right thing. And so because Ken was a friend of me, and we worked together, I was lucky. We were really lucky to get this girl. But I think we always knew this was what we needed.
That's awesome, and it's been rewarding and everything you could have wanted. And
absolutely, absolutely.
I would say that the first couple of years it was a little hard for us because we were getting used to each other. You know, I had issues and I was trying to work through them a little bit because, you know, foster care isn't an easy thing, and my life before foster care wasn't very easy either. But you know, I learned to really trust them, and some of the little things that people really take for granted, I never had, you know, like one of the first things they did was take me to a really good dentist. And that dentist went, there's something really wrong with your teeth. And I went, oh, I didn't know this. And I had to go through and get all my teeth basically fixed, and then I had to get my wisdom teeth removed. It was one of my first surgeries I've ever had. I was really scared. I was really nervous, but
I was crying.
I was so scared because, you know, I've never had this before. I was already having jaw problems due to the teeth. I was having excessive pain in my jaws, and it's pretty bad. And then after the surgery, when I was, you know, still underneath the anesthesia and they were driving home, my mom, Randy, stopped at the pharmacy to pick up my medication, and she came out with a little Beanie Baby stuffed animal, a little tiger, and tigers were my favorite animal. I think I still cry. It was the first time anybody gave me a gift when I was sick.
Oh, that's awesome. It's so awesome.
It's, you know, the little things like that that really brought us together. It was, you know, very different to be supported like that. You know, and then when I was 18, I had to have surgery on one foot. And then about a year later, I had to have surgery on the other. Very invasive foot surgeries. And not only did they sit there and make sure someone was always home with me, they made me food, they took care of me. And I never had that when I was sick. It was usually my foster mom would put out a couple cans of soup on the counter and leave notes with, make sure you don't do this, behave, you know, if your fever goes down, go to school. So having somebody like sit there and really support you through that sort of stuff is really, it was really like eye opening and life changing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And she was really wanted to make sure that I'm the girl for you. You know, she'd come in, was plumbing our sink. I can do this. I can do that. And I was like,
it was,
oh, good.
Our first date, I found out that they had never seen the movie Shrek. And I'm like, no, you have to see the movie Shrek. I love it. And the sink clogged. while I was there. So without even thinking, I went and I grabbed the plunger from the bathroom and I started plunging the
stuff. I've got a picture of that.
So I first...
You must have been cracking up so much.
Oh, yeah. It was a really funny situation, and I all dressed up. So she has a picture of me in like a nice top and my hair all pretty, and I'm sitting there with a plunger plunging their sink. It was great.
Is there any advice, Randy, that you would want to give to anyone who wants to adopt an older child?
I would say give it a try. I mean, these kids are probably pretty smart, and wanting to be with a family, and give it a try. I mean, it's just, I can't understand why people wouldn't want older kids, because look at them. They can help you. They can mow them on. They can do that.
Oh, thanks, Mom.
No, really.
Well, thank you for coming in. You're tuned to Not For Kids Only here on KHUM. I don't know why I cut off right there, but anyway, it was at the end. Thank you once again for Sarah and Randy for coming in to talk with me a little bit about their experiences. And this podcast will be up at KHUM.com. I swear it'll get up there really, really as soon as I possibly can. So make sure to have an eye out for that as well. Coming up here in just about a minute and a half, we're going to get back into the tunes with a little something from Brian Fallon up next. KHUM.